to look at a lesson this morning, man after God's own heart. For those of you who are men, you can be a woman after God's own heart. We're going to look at these passages that will help us understand what makes someone a person after God's own heart. Scripture that was read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, Saul has done some evil things, and so Samuel comes to him and tells him that his kingdom is going to be taken away, and he says, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the captain of those people. God wants people who are going to follow in his footsteps, people who are going to be after his own heart. He uses that phrase here. We see the man that God chose after Saul, and that's David. We talk about David many times as being the man after God's own heart. We want to look at the factors in David's life that made him a man after God's own heart. First, we want to look at the things that did influence that. So there are a lot of things that people think they can do that will make God happy. But we want to look at what God says makes him happy. Look at why God is really pleased with a particular person. Look at David. He wasn't a man after God's own heart because of his parents. Didn't have anything to do with his lineage. In fact, in the 51st Psalm, and in verse number 5 of Psalm 51, David speaks of his parents, at least his mother. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So he wasn't a man after God's own heart because of his parents. He indicates here that his mother, at least, and possibly his father as well, that there was sinfulness there. So that wasn't what made David a man after God's own heart. Then we see in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that David wasn't a man after God's own heart because of his physical stature, or because of any physical characteristic about him. Saul had been chosen as king, and the people looked up to Saul because he was head and shoulders above the rest. So when Samuel went out looking for the next king, as God had directed him, and he went to the household of Jesse, and he started looking at all of his sons, and he said, oh, these are some fine-looking young men. Which one of them is God going to pick as king? And he went through the line, and God said, that's not him, that's not him, that's not him. And he got down to the end, that's not him. And Samuel asked Jesse, he said, well, do you have any more? Is this it? Because God said these, none of these are there. And so they get David. He was just a little scrappy. Saul calls it later on. He was just a little fellow. And he brought him in, and look at what verse 7 of chapter 16 says. After Samuel had looked at Eliab, who was Jesse's oldest son, boy, he said, surely this is the one. Look at him. He's such a fine man. He just looks like he'd be a king. Notice verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So what is it that's going to make someone a person after God's own heart? It's not going to be anything physical. Isn't that wonderful? Because some of us are ugly. We're just not beautiful. We're not ever going to be models. We're not ever going to be movie stars. We're just not. We're not the attractive people that everybody wants to look like. Some of us are worse than that. Some of us are just downright. I know, right? I'm one of us. That's true, isn't it? And God beholds things differently than people do. People look at us and say, ah, well, they're okay, you know. But God looks at us, and if we have
the Lord looks on the heart. And if we've got the right heart, it doesn't matter if our physical features are disfigured. It doesn't matter if we've got scars everywhere. It doesn't matter if, you know, our nose is crooked, our eyes are crossed. None of those things matter to God. We'll look into the heart and see what that heart looks like. And again, it's not the physical heart. It doesn't matter if we've got heart problems. It doesn't matter if, you know, we've had a heart attack. It doesn't matter if our heart's enlarged or we've got some other malady of the heart. That's not the heart he's looking at. He's looking into our soul, into our spirit, to see what kind of people we really are deep down. That's what he said. Man looks on the outward here. Because that's all we can see. I can't look at you and see what's inside you. I can't tell. All I can see is what's on the outside. And most of that we keep covering up with clothes anyway. At least we should. Some people don't, but we should keep on. Most of what's on the outward appearance should be covered up anyway. Notice what else he says. Look not on his countenance. You know, a lot of people, they judge somebody just by looking at their face. Because they don't look at the look on his face, but look at his countenance. Some of the most wicked people in the world can smile and put on such a pretty face. God said, don't look at that. The Lord looks on his heart. So it wasn't David's parents, it wasn't his physical stature, it wasn't even his fighting skill. So here they are, the kingdom of Israel, and they're wanting to take over the land, and David's a good fighter. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 and 35. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. How many of you would like to fight a wild animal? A lion or a bear? Not me. And David was, by all accounts, just a young man, just a teenager, just a boy. And here he was, he's out here fighting lions and bears to save the sheep. Say, I think I'd be in. I'll let him have that one. But David, he went after that bear or that lion, and he'd kill that bear or lion to protect that little lamb. We see later on in chapter 17, him going out against Goliath, and he slayed Goliath. We see all through the account of David's life that he's a mighty warrior. Oh, he's a fighter. That wasn't why God considered him to be a man after his own heart. It wasn't his fighting skill. It wasn't his acting ability. You might not think of David as an actor. But in 1 Samuel chapter 21, he puts on quite a show. 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning at verse 12, said, and David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. That's verse 13. And he changed his behavior before them. That's acting. He just acted a little bit. And feigned himself mad in their hands. He pretended to be crazy. And he scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and he let his spittle fall down on his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see, this man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David, he put on quite a show. He wasn't crazy. He wasn't mad. He wasn't drooling. But he put on the show. He sure acted the part. But you know what? You want to be a person after God's own heart, acting and not looking at that. Because while he might have fooled Achish and all of his servants in the land of Gath, he didn't fool God for a minute. God knew. Acting doesn't fool God. Acting may fool people. But that's not the way to become a person after God's own heart. Interestingly enough, the thing that we might think would make somebody a person after God's own heart, when I say, well, if you want to be a person after God's own heart, you gotta live a perfect life. But you know what? It wasn't David's sinless life
Time and again, David did things that were bad for worse. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, you see the situation with Bathsheba. Boy, he commits so many sins in this situation with her in this just this one chapter.
Hard to count them up.
First of all, he doesn't go out to war as the king should have done. Secondly, he lusts after a naked woman. Third, he goes beyond the lust and he actually acts on that lust and brings her in and commits adultery with her. She was a married woman and he was married as well. He brings her in, commits adultery with her. They have a child together. Well, once he finds out that she's pregnant with this child, he wants to cover it up. Adding sin to sin. He tries to get her husband to come home so that he can make it look like it was her husband's child. Try to cover up sin. When that doesn't work, he commits murder. Cover it up. Not a sinless life there. Not a sinless life at all. There are other occasions he tries to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and he doesn't do it the way God said. He doesn't get the priest to carry it on the pole. Said he could throw an ox cart. And because of his sinfulness in that area, one man lost his life. Because he reached out and touched that ark, and he wasn't supposed to. David had done it the way God said to do it. Another time, he ordered a census accounting of the armies. He wanted to see how mighty and how strong he was. But again, God had not commanded him to. It was Satan tempting him, and he given in to that. Well, it wasn't a sinless life. Well, what could it have been? What was it about this man that was so special that he was a man after God's own heart? If it wasn't his parents that he did, wasn't his lineage. It wasn't his physical stature. It wasn't his fighting skill. It wasn't his acting ability or his sinless life. What was it? Well, let's look at a few things. Every one of these things gets to the heart of the matter. Remember God said, he looks on the heart. First we see in 1 Samuel chapter 24, and verse number 5. David has had a chance to destroy his enemy Saul. Saul was trying to destroy him, and David had the chance, but he didn't do it. All he did was just cut off a piece of Saul's robe, Saul's skirt. Just cut off a little piece. Nothing big, no big deal there. Nothing bad. But it says in verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He had a tender heart. In another place, when David and Jonathan were about to part ways, the Bible says that David and Jonathan wept. But it says that David wept more. David wept. He had a tender heart. That's one of the things that made him a man after God's own heart. The fact that he had a tender heart. Then we see in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3, oh, that God could say this about any of us. I think quite possibly no higher compliment could be made to a person than what Nathan here says to David on behalf of God. Verse 3 of 2 Samuel 7, Nathan said to the king, that's David, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David had a pure heart. Can you imagine being told that you could go and do everything that was in your heart, and the Lord would be with you? Most of us, we have some sinful desires in our heart. We couldn't be told to go and do everything in our heart, still the Lord would looking at this level of things. We have those deep dark secrets, those desires to just do our own will rather than God. And certainly there may have been times in David's life where that was the case with him as well, but here in this case, at least, his heart was pure. And Nathan was able to say to him, go do all that's in thy heart. Now later, God had Nathan come back and tell him, no, don't build the temple, because you've been a warrior and you've shed blood. Well, your son is going to get to build the temple. But because of the fact that you shed blood, you're not going to build the temple for him. But David wanted to do everything he could to please God. David wanted to build God a temple. We need to have that kind of a heart, that pure heart, desire to do what God wants us to do. And also in 2 Samuel, but in chapter 24, in verse 10, we see that David had a penitent heart. 2 Samuel 24, and verse 10, says, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David recognized that he had sinned. And he repented of that sin and came to the Lord asking forgiveness. And after he did that, and after God went on. God wants people. We already talked about the fact that it wasn't a sinless life. Sin is in every person's life. It's how we deal with that sin. Are we willing to ask forgiveness? Are we willing to come penitently when we have that sin in our life? Are we willing to recognize that sin in our life? Or do we just reject it out of hand and try to ignore that we have any sin and try to cover it up? We see at another time in his life that he had tried to cover it up. We talked earlier about the situation with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan comes to David. And we saw there in chapter 24 that David recognized his own sin and came to God. Sometimes, for whatever reason, we may not recognize our own sin or may not acknowledge our own sin, and somebody else may have to bring it to our attention. How do we react when that happens? Nathan here comes to David. And he tells him a story to get him to understand what's going on. And then, notice what happens in verse 13. After David has acknowledged that the person who did this thing should have died, Nathan says, you're the man. You're the one that did this. Then in verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. David had a forgiven heart. The only way for us to have a forgiven heart is to have a penitent heart. You go hand in hand. But that was one thing also that made David a man after God's own heart. Then we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 and 37. In verse 32, David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. He's talking about Goliath, a man that stood over 9 feet tall. David says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Here's David, just a young man, just a teenage boy, prophecy. But certainly not one considered for the army. His older brothers went to the army. His three oldest brothers went. The other four, including David, didn't go. David was the youngest. Only the three oldest went, and then there were three more, and then David, he didn't go. Too young to go to war. And yet, here he is standing before the king saying, don't let anybody be afraid of this 6 foot tall giant. I'll go fight. He had a brilliant thought. He wasn't afraid. Verse
also. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with me. David had a faithful, trusting heart. He trusted in God. Notice he didn't say, because I was so great. Remember, we talked earlier about how he slew that lion and that bear. But he didn't say here, because I'm such a good fighter, I'll go out here and whoop this fella. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the look of me out of your hands. He had courage. His courage wasn't based on pride in himself. See, he had this humility of heart to recognize where the true strength came from. That it was from God that he gained his strength, and not from his own ability. And then finally in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, David here shows that his heart was faithful all the way to death. Now the day that David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his way, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning thee, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, and all their soul, there shall not fail me, said he, a man of the throne of Israel. David still, at the end of his life as an old man, was still thinking about how to see God, still thinking about being faithful to God. And more than just being faithful to himself, he was charging his son, who was about to take over the throne, that he too should remain faithful to God. There are certainly a lot of things in the life of David that we don't need to imitate. But there are a lot of things that he should. And here they are. He had that tender heart. He had a pure heart. He had a penitent heart and a forgiven heart. He had a brave heart and a trusting heart. And he had a faithful heart. We want to be people after God's own heart. We need to have those things in our lives as well. We need to have the heart of faith. We need to live our lives always thinking about how we can please God. David went through a lot of troubles in his life. He was run out of his kingdom by his own son who was trying to destroy him. He was chased for years by a madman. Saul tried several times to kill him. He at times had to hide out in his enemy's territory. He at times was so hungry he was begging for food. But through all of that, he remained faithful to God. What sorrows are you going through in your life? Are you going to remain faithful to God through those things? That's the key. Faithfulness through all. If you're here today and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you're not a Christian, you haven't become faithful to God at all, you haven't given Him your heart and your soul, you need to do that today. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. And submit yourself to be baptized, immersed in water, to wash those sins away. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps your heart's not right with God, you too may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.